Apple AirTags track down stolen political campaign signs. 20 funny things you can ask Alexa. Smart headlights coming to the United States. And how you can determine if your Apple charger is fake. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show. Happy Cybersecurity Month as well. This is the show where we talk about scam awareness, signs, and cutting-edge technology talk. This is episode 109. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Thanks for tuning in with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call during the show with your computer, internet, cybersecurity comments and questions on our open studio line, 520-790-2040. Co-hosting today is David from the Cassie Unscrewed Theater.
Hello. So good to be here again, Aaron.
And he's doing other things here in Tucson as well. He'll tell you a little bit about that later. But we'd like to show some love to Mike and the team at Perfection Auto Works for all of your car's needs. Mike Emery has found the dream team of expert expert professional auto technicians in Tucson. Say that five times fast. In their clean facility, so they get it right the first time. So don't waste your time or your money at suspicious shops that don't keep their word. Take advantage of their free 26-point inspection at Perfection Auto Works. For an appointment, call 520-323-8650. Again, 520-323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com. Here is what is happening in technology news this week. So there is a political campaign sign and what some of the opposing parties may do from time to time. As the political signs go up, there are other people that don't like those signs and they try to take them down. Now, what can the opposing party do? Well, somebody with a little bit of utzpah, or can we say danger,
right?
They actually put Apple AirTags inside of the political signs just to see, anticipating their theft,
right,
to see what happened to it. So they put them in maybe a few of the signs, and sure enough, they were stolen.
Oh, yeah.
And they were tracked. And they were found among hundreds, or about 100 different signs that were all found in a dumpster behind a strip mall. So,
okay.
So
it's good to know where the final resting place of those signs is, but now you have to crawl into a dumpster to retrieve your expensive technologies. So I'm not sure they thought their plan through.
Well, dumpster diving for a $30 thing to so that you can track your stuff. And it was about 118 signs, this woman, and it was, not that it matters, but it was almost entirely for Democratic candidates. Thus finding a new use for Apple AirTags. Okay.
Yeah.
You can use them for good or you can use them for evil. People might be wondering, what is an Apple AirTag? So we've talked about Apple AirTags on the show before. Basically, it's a little coin circle-looking thing that has the Apple logo on it. One side is usually plastic. The opposite side is usually metallic-looking. And there's a little battery in there, has a little transmitter, and it is able to give out its coordinates,
right,
of where it is in space. So, and because it's so small and because it's so so much able to be just dropped in a bag or attached to your keys or even attached to a car, because it's so can you bring your microphone closer? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay.
Is that
better? Are we good? Yeah, I think we're good.
All right.
So because they're so small and they're so versatile, people are starting to use them in different ways.
Right.
So if you want to track something, you could always Order an Apple AirTag from Amazon or directly from Apple, and you can start tracking your stuff. So it's very interesting, and we're going to post the entire article about the political campaign sign theft on computerdoctorshow.com. Just click episodes, and then episode 109. You can find that. Also, there are 20 things that you can ask Alexa. So the most popular thing is tell me a joke.
Right.
Okay, so we know about that. So what about beatbox for me? Did you know that Alexa can actually beatbox?
That is a good skill to have.
Can you beatbox?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't think you want me to in the microphone, but...
we don't have a slobber guard here. But there's also teach me a prank. There's prank me... it says trick or treat. We don't talk about Bruno, self-destruct.
Yeah.
Tell me a limerick. I actually tried some of these on my Amazon Echo software that I actually run on my Windows, but it actually told me a limerick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it a good one?
It rhymed, and I guess it uses AI. I don't think I've actually heard that limerick, and I believe it makes limericks...
like so it's making up new ones.
Making
oh, that's
up
cool.
new ones, not ones that are in existence, but like new limericks.
Okay.
But that can be that can be something that people that are into limericks might want to do. I know there are limerick parties and like limerick, it's like an art. Limericks,
sure. I've engaged in a few myself.
All right. There's also make a funny sound, and the sound that it made when I tried it was actually very annoying, but it was both annoying and funny. And
I feel like these are all 20 questions you could also ask anybody in an improv group and probably get similar answers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can have the Unscrewed Theater.
Exactly,
Alexa,
yeah. Make a funny noise. Tell me a joke. Make up a limerick.
Drum roll, please.
Help me with my existential crisis.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that one doesn't work.
And then you can do a rap for me instead of a beatbox.
Yeah,
for
sure.
There you go. Then there was the insult. So I tried the insult last night, and I don't remember what the insult was, but I knew it zinged me pretty good. It made me laugh.
Oh, there you go.
It made me go, ooh, that was bad. And then there's also Roast Tom Brady. That one was actually pretty good. Roast Tom Brady. And it was something to the effect of why did Tom Brady throw in the towel? Because it was intercepted or something.
Oh, there you go. I bet he was feeling pretty deflated after hearing that one. Oh.
And then there was tell me a football burn. Okay, so just use your imagination of what that could be in what would be involved in some of these fun things that
I think that was
Alexa.
The only football burn I know. So
okay, pretty good. All right, here's some news about cars. So there's this thing called smart headlights that's coming to the United States. Smart headlights. You're probably not aware of this, but during the pandemic, there are still some things being passed in law, and during the pandemic, smart headlights were approved for use in the United States. So the question is, what is a smart headlight? They also go by the name of adaptive driving beam, or ADB headlights. It's basically a system of cameras and segmented motorized headlight assemblies to assess the road and position of oncoming cars. And what it does is it adjusts the headlight brightness and the beam shape, where it establishes right. cutoff zones to avoid blinding oncoming drivers while still lighting the rest of the road. All of this is constantly adjusted in real time as the road and the position of other cars change.
So basically, we're letting the computers take over managing somebody's high beams because we know Tucson drivers are incapable of not blinding you with those.
Right. So the next time you are in your car and the car behind you has their brights on, okay, at the next red light, you can calmly get out of your car, open up your tablet, and show them this article about the adaptive headlights, smart headlights there for
if
you.
If they're driving a Tesla, just push that update to them right there, you know.
Yes. And
airdrop them the yeah. headlight.
And then you can also, you know, but, you know, do in a calm manner because, you know, people are just not. The question is, like what the Cadillac had in the 1950s. You know, there are other adaptive things. They had this eye. There was this like ornament on the front of the car. It was like an eye, and it was designed to look at or detect headlights coming right at it, and it would send a signal to leave. So it's not a new technology, but I would say it's an enhanced technology, right. And it's for the safety of the road, really, because if you have someone that's temporarily blind, and for that moment that they're blind and they can't see anything as they pass you,
right.
That's a momentary blindness right there. And if they can't see, there could be something, there could be an obstacle right there, and they'll just smash right into it. So there is a very, very, something very important about being able to see at night,
yeah.
And also not being able to be blinded. And by the way, brighter lights does not necessarily mean safer. It may make you safer, but it makes everybody else on the road unsafe.
Right. Yeah. We've all been there.
Some of the other features of smart headlights, they will also detect pedestrians or animals alongside of the road and highlight them, almost like in a different color. And they even have the ability to display the speed limit on the road in front of you so that there's no way that you can not know what the speed limit is.
I mean, you can still ignore it, right?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, you can blaze right through that. But the idea is safety, because now when the police pull you over for speeding, you know, you can't say that you didn't know, because, you know, your headlight, your car knows
right
what the speed limit is, right?
Okay. I've always tried to be honest when I'm speeding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know I was going too fast, but so was everybody else on the road, officer.
Right. Well, you're just going with the flow.
Exactly.
So these new regulations opened up in the United States, making them street legal since February of this year, even though they were available for several years in Europe and Canada and Japan prior to this. So they're starting here in the United States. So how about that? We're going to be taking our commercial break. Hey, Tom. We're going to be taking our commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Up next, science and tech history from this week, and how you can determine if your Apple charger is fake. This is the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back.
Good lazy loafers, it's time to go to work.
Oh, Ma, it's pert near midnight.
Well, you know how we operate. We wait till those that work go to bed. Then we go to work.
Yeah, but this midnight shift is getting to me.
Come on, let's get. Now, you got the tools?
I got the skill saw right here.
Well, look at that there catalytic converter. Ain't she a beauty?
Just what the doctor ordered.
Get under and get that cat converter.
Hand me that there skill saw.
Oh, my arm!
What happened?
Dad, burn it. They had one of them there Rita-cats installed.
Dadgum, Perfection Auto Works. We're losing money because of them varmints.
What about my
Did you know that the catalytic converter is the number one stolen item from cars today? At Perfection Auto Works, we offer a device called a Rita-cat. It protects your catalytic converter and makes it impossible for thieves to steal it. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show, your source for scam awareness, science, and cutting-edge technology talk. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, along with David, co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Before we get to the next segment, David, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Hey,
Tom, we need some sound over here.
Okay, there we go. Can you hear me now?
I can.
All right. So today going on, we've got the Unscrewed Family Hour, which is wonderful. It's where our family team Comet Chaos plays a bit of an early show, great for the kids, and I absolutely recommend bringing the kids to that one, and then you can stay for the later show if you want. That's also family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that is always a wonderful time. And
You're also doing something else here in Tucson.
Right. I'm on a little bit of a hiatus from improv right now because I'm doing a stage play over at the Scoundrel and Scamp Theater, which is called Faustus, That Damned Woman. It's a modern gender-flipped retelling of the classic Faustus story, you know, your old German tale of a deal with the devil from Christopher Marlowe. All right.
Not written by me, not... Not named by me.
No. Okay, it's a tale from the 1500s. I mean, I figure it's well known enough. But it's an interesting take. It's a good Halloween story. I would say not so great for the kids, but for older teens and adults, it is a very good time, and we are running until October 30th.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. Okay, before we get into our science and tech history, we have Charles Heller on the phone with us on line one. Charles, welcome to the Computer Doctor Show.
Hi, Aaron and David of Gray Shirt. My question is, I'm wondering, are these headlights something, it's just another thing to go wrong, or is it really a good idea insofar as, hey, maybe it'll improve safety, but is it inducing another point of failure, is my question.
Well, anything can fail.
Right.
It's considered a safety feature, you know, very similar to the seatbelt. The seatbelt can fail. Okay. The same thing as your horn can fail. Any of the safety.
Yeah, but for that, you got an alternative of the middle finger.
Well, yes. But after the middle finger, then comes the honking, and then comes them following you home, and that's not safe.
I would say, yeah, in like a lot of modern safety features, it does introduce a couple points of failure because you don't necessarily just have the light bulb that can fail. You've also got the sensors that can fail.
The motors.
Yeah, but like everything, you know, I think as we go on and test out these new technologies, they become safer and safer, and they generally get implemented, and then we... You know, don't ever want to go back to what the old ways were.
All right.
I don't know. I kind of miss the old bright light switch on the floor.
On the floor? What year was that?
What do you mean, what year? Well, it was up until the last. Well, I had a 91. I had a 91 Toyota pickup that had it, except, of course, I installed that switch myself. And it was for the extra dazzling bright lights. The last one I remember. I mean, my dad's 75 Buick might have still had it. I know his 73 old still had it. My Buick Apollo had it on the floor. I don't know. It's been so long. Yeah, you know, it's a good question.
You know, we have lots of car shows here in Tucson, so maybe the next time I'm at one of these car shows, I'll take a look for that floor.
You've never seen the dimmer switch on the floor?
I will look for one the next time I see it.
Okay, thanks.
Very good. Hey, thanks a lot for calling in, Charles. Okay, we're going to go back in history, science and tech history. David, what do you have on your schedule there?
All righty. We got one really big one, October 14th, which that's yesterday, 1878, 144 years ago. Edison filed his first patent application for improvement in electric lights.
Keyword is his.
Right.
First patent. So did Edison invent the light bulb?
No. Okay. We know this.
Okay. Well. See, not everybody knows this. So,
fair enough. So
Edison is credited with he did do a lot with the advancement of lights, but there was actually electric lights already in operation,
right,
dating all the way back to 1802. So in 1802, Humphrey Davy. His first name is Humphrey, last name Davy. He invented the first electric light that was called the Davy lamp, and it was an earlier form of the arc lamp. So before the show, I asked you, what application would a bright flash of electric light be useful for?
Right, and I came up with photography almost immediately.
Bam, there it is. So you know all of those old photos where you have, or if you've ever seen an old movie where there's this photographer holding up this handle, and out of this handle, there's like this tray, and out of that tray is a flash, okay? Where does that flash come from? There was no light bulb in there.
Right.
But what it was like a tiny little explosion. It was flash powder, Okay. See, I know where you're going, Tom. So Tom was mouthing it off. Flash powder.
Right.
So there was flash powder, and the way it works is it's a very ignitable powder, different from gunpowder,
mm-hmm.
but you get this big flash and almost like a boom, like a poof.
Right.
Kind of boom, right? And with that boom comes this big flash, and they would use that flash to illuminate the subject for photography. And that shutter button that they would use would send a charge to the flash and to the camera to open up the shutter and close it, all in one button. And that's how a lot of these photographies were done. So what they were trying to do is like, hey, that's light that we can use. If we can just make it longer than just a flash, if we can just like leave it on for maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. So where Edison comes in is he tried to commercialize
mm-hmm.
the electric light.
Using a longer lasting filament.
Longer lasting filament. And he even encased it into glass.
Right.
Where he put it into he took all the air out, making
vacuum
it a vacuum
seal,
vacuum seal. And then he started experimenting with different filaments. Here is the next question. Did he do what was his last successful filament that he used? Was it carbon or was it tungsten or something else?
It was a tungsten filament, according to this.
It was not tungsten just yet.
I read the word carbon, then I said tungsten.
It was a carbon filament or strip coiled, and it was connected to platina contact wires. The incandescent light bulb using tungsten would not be invented until 1906 by General Electric, some 44 years later.
Right.
So I would give you a B+ on that test. So good job, and good job, Tom, as well. Okay.
Nowadays, I think the only filament bulb in my house is the one in my oven.
Okay. Also, October 18th is Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day.
That's important.
Also very important. Also, here are some quick announcements. Join some experts for training and resources on fighting human trafficking, on the role technology plays on popular phone apps, and ways to make sure kids, teens, and adults stay safe online. And this is a free webinar taking place October 18th in just a few days, from 11 a.m. to 12:15 p.m., there is a registration, so you can get on that registration. Also, the astronaut romance scam is back. So if you have any older ones who are getting phone calls from somebody claiming to be an astronaut or claiming to be in, I know this sounds crazy. There's a scam where they trick the victim into thinking that they have to help pay for somebody to come back from outer space that's been stuck up there for several years.
I heard about that.
Apparently that has resurfaced and people are falling for this scam again. So that scam is fake, just so you know. With the time that we have left, one more thing. How you can determine if your Apple charger is fake. Number one, real Apple chargers are made to tight tolerances, so you can tell how tight they are in the fittings. And also, Apple cables are marked with a design by Apple California and either assembled in China, assembled in Vietnam, on the cable itself, followed by a 12-digit serial number. Did you know that these wires actually have serial numbers on them?
I did not.
That's how you know that they're real. Before we wrap up, I just want to thank our sponsor, Perfection Auto Works, again for sponsoring our show. Stop by their location on Speedway Craycraft for your free 26-point inspection. And as always, don't click unverified links in emails or text messages. Use a password manager. Always look at the address bar. Check activity on your bank statements. Enable two-factor authentication. Verify all incoming and outgoing calls. Back up your system to the cloud. And listen to the Computer Doctor Show on live on Saturdays and post it as podcast on Tuesdays. If you missed any part of this episode, go to computerdoctorshow.com. Click episodes and find episode 109. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. David co-hosting today from the Unscrewed Theater. Tom Fairbanks is at the control board. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Computer Doctor Show. If you missed any part of this live broadcast, we post all our episodes online at ComputerDoctorShow.com. Remember, the world is getting more and more tech, and so should you. To stay current with technology, listen to the Computer Doctor Show each week for local and global tech insights. If you have suggestions for a topic on a future show, send us an email at info@ComputerDoctorShow.com.